Gracious and holy God, Lord, this morning as your word is read and as it is proclaimed, we ask that you would unstop our ears, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word for us this day. And this morning, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I want to tell you all that I have 786 friends. At least that's what Facebook tells me. I don't really use Twitter, although I do have a Twitter account or Snapchat or Instagram, those things, but I do utilize Facebook. But if you use the other forms of social media, you probably either follow or are followed by maybe even hundreds of people. So many ways of connecting with others. I have 786 friends. I can at any moment go to their page and see what is happening in their lives. And 786 people have access to my page to see what is happening in my life. Now, in both instances, of course, it's only that part of my life or that part of their lives that I get to see or that they get to see. 786 fellow clergy and spouses, congregation members, former congregation members, old high school friends that have looked me up and have friended me, family, and then a handful of really close friends. I have enjoyed vacations to places I have never been to as my friends post those pictures on Facebook, and I enjoy doing the same. I enjoy watching the children and the grandchildren of my friends on Facebook grow up as pictures are posted, and yes, I enjoy doing that too. I occasionally enjoy an inspirational quote or story, although probably less often than my friends on Facebook might hope that I do. And yes, occasionally I post those as well. I learn about some upcoming events from my friends, some that I even care about knowing about. And you got it. I do the same as well. And I am only one of 1.47 billion, with a B, daily users of Facebook, and of over 2 billion, with a B, monthly users nationwide. Friends, we are a connected people indeed. We are, in fact, living at a time where virtually anything that we think that we need, we can get. Well, get it virtually. From shopping to information, to entertainment, to conversations, to news, all of those are just right at the touch of our screen. We even have the ability to worship virtually anywhere through live stream. So let me say hello to our live stream folks today. We can earn degrees online and never step foot in a classroom. We can participate in a book study or a Bible study online and never even meet the people in the group face-to-face. You can even meet your special someone online and have all of those early conversations without ever seeing the person live. You can play games with people online from around the world, knowing each other only by a screen name or your avatar. We are a connected people. And yet, in a study released this past May conducted by Cigna Insurance, who researched and spoke to 20,000 adults across the United States, 54% of those said that they feel that no one really knows them well. About 40% said that they lack companionship, that their relationships are not meaningful, and that they feel isolated. Half of Americans view themselves as lonely. And for young adults, that number goes up even higher. So here's the paradox. That same technology that connects us, well, it also isolates us. We have a remote intimacy with many, while we fail to establish or to maintain close relationships face to face. And as with things, most things in this virtual world of social media or internet connections, there are both great opportunities and great danger. And you can't separate the two. What we can do is to find ways to move toward those great opportunities of connectedness and to know and to notice and to avoid those dangers of isolation. As Christ followers, we know what it is to live in that tension between opportunity and danger. The very symbol of the Christian faith is an instrument of suffering and death, which Jesus redefined to be a symbol of hope and of life. Author and pastor Adam Thomas reminds us that the cross is the ultimate reminder of the danger of separation, of abandonment, and of isolation. But when the power of the resurrection kept Jesus in relationship with us, even after his death on that cross, it has become to us a sign of reconciliation and of union and of connection. Just before Jesus' arrest and his crucifixion, he gathered with his disciples one last time. And in John's gospel, there are a couple of chapters devoted to what we call the high priestly prayer that he prayed for his disciples then and his disciples now. I'll be reading the portion of the prayer found in John chapter 17, beginning with the 20th verse. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this prayer, Jesus prays for relationship, for connection, that his followers may not experience isolation, but may remain connected to others and through him to God the Father. And then I love, in the Bible, every time I see a "so that," because it tells me that, okay, they're about to get the reason for what was just said. And there's a big old "so that" in these verses. So that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Through our witness of connection in a world of isolation, we are to remind the world that God has not turned his back on the world or on them, but instead reaches toward them in love. Jesus, you know, specialized in breaking down those walls of isolation. In his life, he broke down walls between the healthy and the sick, the rich and the poor, the child and the adult, the Samaritan and the Jew. In his death and in his resurrection, he broke down the walls between life and death and new life. In the sending of his Holy Spirit, he broke down the walls between our blindness and God's movement. And when we follow Jesus, we walk behind him as he continues to break down walls of isolation and the human tendency that we have to define our lives in terms of politics or nationalism or race or level of education or any of those myriad of ways that we isolate ourselves from others. We need this breaking down of the walls of isolation, most particularly in our virtual technology world. because online, we can fail to notice the isolation setting in because we actually feel connected to those folks that we meet in virtual space. More often than not, those connections, especially the ones that we only know in an online way, they're just transient and superficial, and they just stand in for meaningful human contact, but they fail to achieve it. Adam Thomas compares those virtual relationships to substitute teachers who turn off the lights and show videos because they don't know the subject matter. Because online, people only know the little piece of us that we put out there. They don't know the real us. But the odd thing is, our virtual online relationships can feel very intimate. Because when we're hiding behind the walls of technology, we can find ourselves sharing things about ourselves that we would not normally share face to face. Especially when we're communicating with people that we only know online, like in online gaming, we may share more easily because that wall of anonymity keeps the other person from really knowing us. Remote intimacy. It creates the illusion of a close relationship by focusing on what we like rather than who we are. That's important. I'm going to say that again. Remote intimacy creates the illusion of a close relationship by focusing on what we like, not by focusing on who we are. We know and are known only by those pieces of information that we put out there, rather than the work and the joy of true communication. There were studies that were done back in the late 60s and early 70s that pointed out that only about 7% of communication actually happens verbally. That the nonverbal cues and our body language make up about 93% of what goes into our communication. And that was before the age of technology and social media. So think about it. If we can misunderstand so quickly with the spoken word, imagine how easily we are misunderstood when it is just words on a screen, and most especially if it's mostly through 140 and recently doubled to 280 characters available on Twitter. Given the fact that we don't see and experience in real time the other person or other people when we communicate with them, unfortunately, sometimes users of social media can feel a little more free to disparage or quip or be mean-spirited or even resort to cyberbullying because there is this disconnect between our virtual world and the reaction of the other person. We don't see the reaction of the other person when we're just typing words on our screen, and we can hide behind our little LOL, or I'm just joking, or I'm just passing this along. And then we throw out words or memes or cartoons or whatever that are hurtful. And then we can hide behind the bravado of labels like snowflake or thin-skinned or whatever it is that we need to create a wall between the virtual us and the virtual them in ways that we wouldn't dream of doing if we were having a real conversation with a real live person. And we can feel connected to an entire group of like-minded people, not based on the reality of who they are, but simply that they like the same things or defend the same position that we do. Remote intimacy. Friends, as Christ followers, we are held to a higher standard. Jesus prayed that we would have real connection with each other and with Him so that the world would know that God is not distant or uncaring, but is totally in love with each person. Our challenge is to enjoy the opportunities that the virtual world of connections give us, keeping in touch with those distant relatives or the folks, the friends that we rarely get to see, sharing information that otherwise might take longer to share, reaching out to people to invite them into a real relationship, while we don't ignore the dangers of isolation cloaked as intimacy that the virtual world can give us. Again, Adam Thomas reminds us that isolation is a dangerous thing for us humans. It keeps us from forming close relationships. It allows us to hurt one another without even noticing the damage that we're causing. But God is in the business of bringing us back together. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, God runs toward us in our brokenness and our isolation. And God will break down our walls of isolation that we build up in our virtual world and summons us into a real relationship with him through Christ and a real relationship with our neighbors all around the world. The question that is before us is, will we allow God to transform our lives, both in the real world and in our virtual world of technology? I pray that we will. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, Lord, we confess that all too often our use of social media is one that is not the fullest expression of the humanity that you call us to be. That we hide behind things in social media, that we only share little pieces of ourselves, and we call that friendship. And even while ignoring our friends that are real flesh and blood, that we turn our eyes on our screen to communicate with people that we barely even like, while our children clamor for our attention and ask us to turn away from the screen. God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that we be empowered to give you our whole lives, the lives that we live in flesh and blood and the lives that we live online, that all are open to you for your transformation. And that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we will choose you over and again and choose real intimacy with real people and know when we are being lulled into this virtual intimacy that is really isolation. Help us, O God, to walk as your children. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.